Hi, this is Tracy Watson, and welcome to the Laughing Mother Project, where we laugh at the days to come. Hi there, precious ladies. I hope you're just loving these podcasts as much as I am. Today's guest is actually a former Miss South Africa 1988 First Princess. She has had a successful modeling career that has spanned over 30 years, and she has a modeling agency that is raising up and has been raising up for many years very beautiful and powerful women in South Africa. I personally was blessed enough to meet her at church as a teen when I was developing my sense of identity, and I was fortunate enough to do a course with her at her modeling agency. Thanks to her fine training and poise and confidence and her inspiration, I also went on to be a Miss South Africa finalist in 1996. You know, it was a very, very special and wonderful time to be doing modeling. And many times over the years, I have wondered whether how people see you if you have been involved with modeling, whether they assume that you are vain and self-absorbed, or, you know, what their perception is. And I think as a mother of a teen girl, my Grace is now 17 years old, it made me wonder how Roberta has navigated this, because this is her field of expertise, of dealing with young ladies, young girls that are coming through and trying to work out what to do with their self-image. And I think she's doing an amazing job in a much needed area in this time. Identity is being so challenged that I think that it's an extremely powerful work that she's doing amongst teens. I know that I personally have always loved modeling because I have a love for clothes. Not because of the fact that I'm self-absorbed, but because of the fact that I think that clothes are such an amazing expression of how you're feeling. They're how you package yourself. And I think that, you know, that whole thing of power dressing, I don't mean brands or labels. I definitely don't think that that adds any value to anyone. In fact, I've sometimes found the most amazing treasures in op shops or have been given beautiful sentimental pieces of clothing. But to me, in our family, when we enter a new chapter on our journey, we love to buy a new pair of shoes, and on the back we write some prophetic words. I also love clothes because they're a prophetic expression. So that's why I loved modeling. I love, for example, that you get to wear clothes that maybe you wouldn't necessarily choose, and you get to show them off. Even today, when I dress, I think of the color that I'm going to put on, and now I think, is that the mood? Is that the message that I'm wanting to put across? For example, yellow may mean that I really want this day to be full of sunshine, so I'm going to wear something bright. Other times, I just might really want to feel relaxed and calm, so I may choose to wear something like that. I love leopard print. It's a signature. I just love leopard print for me. And to me, that speaks of the untamed freedom. I think being African, I love the fact that there's such beauty and power in wildlife. So I love wearing African leopard print themed clothing. It has been on trend lately, but I don't really necessarily like to conform to trend. I feel that our body shapes are different. And so when we find something that makes us feel powerful and lovely, it definitely is warfare. So, I don't think men always understand this, and sometimes they're like, you've got a cupboard full of clothes, why can't you just throw something on? They don't understand that for us it is an extension and an expression of who we are. Maybe not for every woman, but for a lot of us, we dress according to what we feel. So in this modern world, I'm so thrilled that the definition of beauty has been beautifully broadened. Sometimes we think it's vanity, like I said before, to be concerned with beauty, and especially beauty pageants. But in the Bible, there was a beautiful beauty queen, and her name was Esther. And Esther changed the direction and destiny of a nation because of her beauty. Think about Sarah. Sarah was incredibly beautiful. She was beautiful into her old age. So I think we need to discard any wrong ideas that we have about beauty and take on the fact that beauty is power and it's godly in all its diverse and glorious forms. God makes all things beautiful in his time. He makes beautiful things out of dust. And Isaiah 61 verse 3 says that he gives us beauty for ashes. So with having said all that, let's meet the beauty queen mama, my friend and role model. Welcome to Roberta Alessandri. Roberta, will you please tell us how you got into the world of modeling and what it did for you?
Hi, Tracy, and thank you so much for having me on your show. How I got into modeling. I was a 40-year-old teenager walking up a road and a model agent stopped me and asked me to do a modeling course. Back then, it wasn't that popular to do modeling courses. I didn't even know about it, and I decided to do it. And the minute my feet hit the ramp, I knew it was my destiny. And I absolutely loved it. I was shy in other situations, but I had all the personality in the world on the ramp in front of the camera. And that was it. Before the course was even finished, I was doing fashion shows, photo shoots, and God basically had planned this path, you know, years and years before, of course, and all the doors opened. And then I went to a shopping mall one day and I saw a pageant going on and I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. And so I entered the pageant. It was a Miss Teen. I came third in it. I was so excited. I got wonderful prizes. And then I went back and entered it the next year and I won it. And then I just loved doing pageants. I had no stress about it. I had the attitude that I was lucky enough to be able to do it. And if I won, I won. If I didn't, well, then it was just a great experience. And that's the kind of attitude you have to have as a model. You know, I believe all of this is written in your DNA. If you are going to be a model, God will give you the character to go with it. Girls find it very difficult if they try to do this, but they can't take the rejection and they can't persevere. And then I went on and I won a lot of pageants. By the time I was 22, I had already won 3 motor cars, trips around the world, incredible opportunities. You know, when I look back, I can just see how God planned all of this and put people in my life, opened doors. So I think when you are meant to do something and it is your destiny, and you walk in that path, it's very easy to do. The doors will open. Yeah, so that's how I basically got into it. And I'm still modeling today. My one client, I have been modeling for her for 30 years. And I'm doing 2 full-day shoots next week. I basically started modeling for her when she started her business as a designer. And 30 years later, her business is thriving and she's still using the same model. And we're actually the same age. So I've got wonderful memories and wonderful stories.
Roberta, I just love what you said about that what you are meant to do is written in your DNA, because that just speaks of our maker, that God has already put into us the thing that makes us feel alive and the thing that we feel is what we are meant to do. I 100% agree with that. That's the grace of God. That is God's unmerited favor. And you certainly have enjoyed that favor with all those wonderful things that you've enjoyed as a result of your just partnering and co-laboring with God in what He's called you to do. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was young and I was doing some modeling. I know that modeling gave me a lot of self-confidence that I didn't necessarily have before. I've always been talkative, but I was also a little bit shy and self-conscious in terms of putting myself out there at first. And I felt that a lot of people encouraged me to do modeling. They said, oh, you should model, you should get involved in this, you'd be great, you should go for it. But once I was in it, I felt this incredible expectation to be perfect, to always have flawless skin, to be the perfect weight, to live up to that name of being a model. And you know, I think that that was in our years and in our days. Today, anybody can be a model, anybody can be famous because of Instagram. But I have noticed that, people might start off doing something and then sort of feel that they get this wave of feeling disqualified, or they feel this huge pressure in their self-esteem where they doubt what they're called to do. And so I think that's when we have to find our strength and our confidence in God. And we always need to be listening to Him when He's talking to us about our self-esteem. But have you ever had to navigate your self-esteem? Or what are some practical things that you teach girls to do with looking after their self-esteem? Roberta, because I asked that because you are a role model. Girls come and they enroll in a course, and I think one of the most amazing things, the gift that you give them, is a power and an ability to grow in having positive self-esteem. So can you share that with us, please?
With my self-esteem, and thank you for that. You know, my slogan is that Roberta Alessandri models are not just models, they are role models. And the reason why I came up with that is we want to be a good example to teenagers, of course. And just my main message and teaching is, you know, if you can just be righteous and have a kind heart, then things will go well with you. And so there are a lot of girls that I taught when they were 8 years old, and they're now in their 30s, and they're incredible role models. And these girls stayed with me from the age of 8 right up until 20. And Tracy, you one of them, you know, I think you did your course with me when you were only about 16, and you are an incredible role model. And I'm not saying that the course does this to the girls, but some of these girls who are now actresses, singers, the one girl is the Mrs. World. It's a stepping stone. It's having someone believe in them and in a different way tell them that they're good enough and that they're beautiful. And you know what it's like. You can tell your daughter that all the time, but it does build their confidence. And I believe you should tell your child that every single day of their life, that they're absolutely amazing. But when a teacher or somebody from the outside also reinforces that, it does make quite an impact. And especially girls who were short, you know, a lot of agencies rejected some of the girls who I took on, who are now top actresses in South Africa. One is a massive celebrity, and they were rejected and told that they'll never make it, they're too short. And I liked the shorter girls. Of course, I had tall girls in my books, but I opened doors for short girls, and I would use them in fashion shows. And I didn't care that the standard height is supposed to be 5'7", 5'8". I would have girls in my shows of 5'5", 5'6", 5'4". I mean, I'm 5'6½" myself, and I was not allowed to do any Durban fashion shows with my agency in Durban. And I went to Joburg, and an agency opened the door for me, and I did all the top shows up there. And I came back to Durban and then was used in all the top designer shows in Durban. So, it's just giving people a chance. But thank you for that. But how I have navigated my self-esteem is obviously I know my identity in Christ. That is very important. And when you know that, and you know that you are this incredible princess, and you have the man who created the world as your father, I don't see how you can have a low self-esteem. And I teach my girls that they mustn't accept any treatment other than they're like princesses. And my self-confidence has been up and down, but it is renewing my mind all the time. It's praying against any negative thoughts that come into my mind. And just sitting through a hard time, because we are going to have grief. We are going to have a dry season, but we have to just sit through and wait and persevere and feel like that, even if you're feeling down or with that lack of self-esteem, and the tide will change, the season will change. And also knowing your purpose and using your talents. So if you use your talent and do what makes you happy, you will have confidence and you will have purpose. Modeling is my talent, it's my gift, it's my purpose, and I'm still doing it. But and so what I say to the girls is never stop what you love doing. If you're a dancer, if you're an artist, if you sing, don't stop doing that when you get into your 20s or 30s. Do it when you're 50, do it when you're 60, do it when you're 70. That's your talent and that's what makes you happy. Keep doing it. I love dancing. I would never have been good enough to be a dancer, but I put on music and I dance. I love to dance. I love to listen to music. So that all of that improves your self-esteem, improves your confidence, and will make you happy.
Roberta, I love that. I think it's so awesome. In fact, it's really inspired me and spoken to me because sometimes I think that as mothers, those of us people out there that are listening, we can kind of forget what gives us joy. And if dancing gives us joy, we should dance. And we should do that. We should always, you should never grow old in terms of doing what feeds your soul and what you love. For some people, it's gardening. For some people, it's painting. For some people, it's, I don't know, doing other crafts and hobbies. But those things we should never get too old of doing. I love that answer. Roberta, this brings me to the question of the fact that we all know that the modeling world is often not very godly. And so I want to know how you came to know Jesus, because I met you at church. So how did you get there? How did Jesus find you? How did the relationship with Jesus begin for you personally?
Came to know Jesus is I've always known Jesus. My mother taught me to pray, but I never knew what a Christian is or a born again Christian, and I didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was. I just knew that there was God and Jesus. And obviously, being in the modeling world, we used to go to clubs a lot, and as models, you would walk into a club and everyone would know who you are. So I did spend a lot of time in clubs in the 80s in Joburg and in Durban or wherever we went. And but I always knew Jesus and I always prayed. And you see, God will look after you even if you're not a Christian and even if you are doing bad things. Not that I was doing bad things, but he will still plan that life he has for you. And hopefully you will become a Christian and hopefully you will fit into his ultimate plan. And he will still bless you. And then I met a guy who was a born again Christian, and of course he said to me, I'm a Christian, and I said, well, so am I. And he invited me to church, and that's when I went to Glenridge Church. And it was amazing, and it was so easy for me. It was so easy. I just stopped going to clubs. I even used to smoke. I stopped smoking. Everything was just easy to become a born again Christian and to accept Jesus into my life. And that was a beautiful journey for me because, goodness, the way God has blessed me has been unbelievable. I mean, scripture has come to life in my life. You know, it's so amazing when something happens and then you say, oh my gosh, that is biblical. That is that scripture, you know, when he will prepare a feast before you in front of your enemies, or that he blesses you with unbelievable riches and blessings. An example is a blessing where, you know, where he uses other people to bless you who aren't necessarily Christians as well. An example is someone blessed us with a home, fully furnished home, when I was 28 years old, a home that back then was worth R500,000, which now is worth about 3 million. That was a gift from God. He put it on someone's heart, you know. So the blessings that have come about in my life have been incredible. And you know, it's just your daily walk with him. And I don't, obviously works, you know, is not part of it. It's God's grace. And at the moment I'm not fellowshipping and I haven't been for a long time. And I know that people do need to go to church, and it is important for some people to go to church, but you also have to be able to have a relationship with Christ and a walk with him. And there is so much, you know, there's so much to listen to. I mean, your messages, Tracy, are amazing. There's so much to listen to and hear on the internet, on YouTube. There's incredible preachers, and it's up to us to pray, to worship, and to read. And that's where I am in my Christian walk.
Wow, a house. I know I've been to that house and it really is beautiful. In fact, it makes me think, that testimony makes me think of Matthew 6, verse 33, which says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you." And I just think, Roberta, that that home has been a place where you actually have been. I mean, you've never made it secret that you're a Christian and that you love God. You've got morals and principles that make you stand out. I really feel that one thing that I love about you is that you give people freedom to be beautiful, and you bring out the gold and the beauty in people. A lot of people that do modeling sort of feel that they get told what they need to weigh, what height they need to be, and sometimes it can be a very snobbish, cutthroat environment. I've never ever experienced that, and I don't think anybody who's been part of your agency has ever seen that side. So I think that that house has actually been used to the glory of God. And you know, just as I'm chatting to you, I feel that there might be people listening who think, gosh, Roberta is born beautiful and she just seems to be given cars and homes and she's just living like a favorite of God. And you know, she's never had to battle or go through things. And we know that that's not true. I know that you personally must have journeyed through many difficult times and faced some battles and overcome. But for the sake of the fact that this is a mother podcast, you did get married to the father of your children, who was at church, you know, who was a churchgoer, and unfortunately, you experienced a heartbreak. But God has come through for you in such an incredible way, and I'd love you to share just a little bit about what that experience was like for you.
So I was very fortunate to meet the most incredible man. I went through a horrible divorce. There was a betrayal of trust, which was very close to home because it was, you know, two people involved who I knew very closely. And divorce is traumatic, you know. You don't know how traumatic it is until you actually go through it, especially after a long marriage and when you have children. And but during that time, I still had joy, I had strength, and God just made everything else around me amazing. And that's my motto in life, which I learned from this, is when things go bad in your life, just make sure everything else around you is amazing and good, and see the beauty in everything else. Don't dwell on your pain and what's going on with you. And, you know, I just thought, you know what, I've got emotional pain. However, there are people, friends of mine who are ill, who can't do anything about their illness, but I can do something about emotional pain. I can choose to rise above it and be strong, or I can wallow in it and feel sorry for myself. And of course, I chose to be strong. And one tip for divorce is, don't let your children ever see your pain. It's not for them to see, you know. They never did. I was always positive, and never run your ex-husband down so to someone so that they can hear, no matter what he's done, or your ex-wife, no matter what they've done. Your children still need to see their parents through rose-colored spectacles, even if they're not those kind of people. And because of that, my children have a wonderful relationship with their father. And I also have never had any resentment or bitterness. And then I actually saw my current husband, and I fell in love with him, not even knowing him. And I, months later, sent him a Facebook request, and we got chatting and had coffee. And little did I know that 30 years before this man had my photographs on his matric cover books, because I was a model. So he fancied me way, way back then. So another thing that God planned. And on the 5th of October 1995, I wrote a prayer to God to please bless me with the most incredible, beautiful, gentle man, etc., etc., everything that my current husband is. And I found this about a year ago. And on the 5th of October 2017, that's when I sent him the Facebook request, and he responded, and we met. And I had completely forgotten about this letter. It had been in a drawer, in a box, and I hadn't seen it since I wrote it, 1995. You know, so it's just things like this were happening that we found out about. So it was definitely meant to be and planned. And so there is hope for those who are divorced. Sorry about the dogs, but it's dog barking time right now. And yeah, this marriage has had an incredible impact in my life. It's healed me, because obviously, you know, when something traumatic has happened to you, you have trauma and you have a lack of trust, and it's just healed me. And he has got two beautiful children. He is a widow, so they've also had incredible loss in their life, and we just have an amazing blended family.
I just love that God is in the details. We always just see the details when we look back, but God has always been looking out for us. He watches us. He's working all things to our good. And I love that he's given you beauty for ashes. You know, I just think that this new man in your life has really, I don't know why, I just feel like he appreciates your beauty, and he seems like he's just like your number one fan. And he really seems to have, he really just brings out something beautiful in you. I've never met him, but I can see in your photos how your face is lit up and how beautiful you are and radiant you're looking, Roberta. So I'm so pleased to hear that things have, that there's hope. And for the people out there that may be listening, that God is faithful, and we can believe in second chances, and we can believe that he can turn all things to the good, hey? And now I just want to lastly, just to finish it off, I'd love you to just give us some advice. Just give some mothers of teenage daughters some advice on how to bring up their teens. This is the last question, because I know your time is precious and we really appreciate what you've got to say.
My advice for moms who who have teens is just listen to them and pay them lots of attention. They need it. And don't always get into conflict. You know, they're going to throw their toys and get grumpy. They're allowed to. You know, they also have anger. They also have things that they can express. Just take it all lightheartedly. Don't get into fights and conflict. I'm fortunate to have a lovely relationship with my children. And so often if you just brush something off, they actually calm down and forget about it. Obviously, if it's a lot more serious, you know, like life-threatening, that's different. Don't take that casually. But I've always with, for example, my son, even when he was like a little boy, I've always turned a situation into humor. And that really has helped, you know. Like, for example, if he would get angry with his Xbox and shout and maybe, you know, hit the bed, I would say to him, oh, please do that again. I didn't get that on camera, you know, and then he would laugh. So it's just, I think, just being lighthearted about things and not stressing too much. They all seem to turn out okay, hopefully. And but lots of attention, lots of love. I find that a lot of kids who suffer from anxiety, they haven't got the attention that they needed and the time that they needed. That's very important. I believe if you have children, you must put them first, you know, and obviously you have to work and make money to feed them, but put them first, your spouse, of course, and your children. Don't put your friends first. Don't put your hobbies first. Don't put your gym first. Whilst those children are still little, whilst they're in your home, put them first. And, you know, that's what I believe about parenting. In terms of discipline, I've never really had to discipline, so I can't really comment on that. I don't believe in shouting, screaming, or smacking children whatsoever. And I also don't believe that's biblical, and that is very controversial, I know, and it might get a lot of people's hair standing on end, but I don't believe in that. I believe in talking firmly to them and reasoning with them. So that's sort of my view on parenting. And the most important thing is listening to them. Like, for example, I've homeschooled all my kids because they didn't like school and they suffered a little bit of anxiety at school. And obviously with the divorce, as there was a bit of separation anxiety, which is understandable. And also I do love the idea of homeschooling, you know, and so I listened to them and it's turned out so much better to have homeschooled them for them. I do believe in the school system and I think the school system is absolutely wonderful. And, but they were the kind of kids who needed to be homeschooled. So sometimes just listening to their needs as well. Yeah, so well, that's my advice for parenting. I'm not saying it's right, but anyway, Tracy, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I wish you all the success of the future, and you're doing an incredible, amazing job. You are a role model and you are encouraging people, and you're beautiful and it's wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. That's very, very kind of you. I just feel that I'm doing this podcast because of the fact that I feel that there is so much beauty and so many things to be learned from the lives of people who come on and share what they've gone through. I think that beauty is sometimes it comes across in the grace of overcoming. And so I'm just thankful for you sharing on your journey as a beauty queen and as a business owner. And I think you're doing an incredible job. For all of those of you who are out there listening, I just want to pray a prayer that's a little bit different, but I just want to pray something over you if I can. Father God, for the precious lady who is listening, I pray, Father God, that you would remind her that she is beautiful in your sight. I think of Song of Songs, that you say, arise, my darling, and come away with me. The winter is gone. And I just thank you, Jesus, that they can actually experience your loving eyes upon them. That, Father God, you say that you see them. That, Lord, I know that in Song of Songs, you say that, come away, my dove, for your face is lovely and your voice is sweet. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that every single lady will feel the chivalry of Jesus. That, Lord, the doors that have seemed closed, that you would open them, Father God. For those that have felt that they carried the world on their shoulders, that you would pick them up and lovingly carry them over the thresholds. Father God, I pray that those who have had harsh words spoken over them, or words that have actually made them feel less than, Jesus, I pray that you'd strip those off them. You speak a better word, and that, Father God, you'd wash each one of us with your words. That, Lord God, you'd put on us the labels from heaven, that we are highly favored royal princesses of the Most High. That, Father God, you would give us the beauty of gentle and quiet spirits that are precious in your sight. And that, Jesus, we would be able to boldly say that we are truly loved by the one who created the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Bless this day and let us be a blessing to all those we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, friends, have a great day. Actually, before I just close off, I just was thinking that I have to put the scripture in, James 1, verse 12. Because for me personally, I did, like I mentioned before, do them in South Africa. But I remember at that time that the Lord spoke to me about another crown that he's called us to wear. And if you go and look up the scripture, James 1, verse 12, you'll see that it says that blessed is the man who stands steadfast during a trial. For once he has overcome, he will receive the crown of life. And so I just remembered that the Lord said to me that we are to walk wearing the crown of life. Let our thoughts be crowned with life. Let us bring life and rule and reign and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth through what we say and decree, because we are wearing the crown of life. I just prophesy that over you. And now I'll say, until we speak again, God bless you and just have an amazing week. I'll see you in the next episode.